morning. It's great to be here with you this morning. Nice and bright outside. I was driving yesterday at like 7 p.m. and it was crazy how bright it was. And I was thinking, man, 7 p.m. in December feels like midnight. But 7 p.m. in what monumental month this is. Whatever. 7 p.m. right now seems early, but the light is good. I learned that in the darkness, we can see a candle 1.6 miles away, which is pretty remarkable. And I was told this morning that's why flashlights are kind of measured in candlelight strength. And I also learned that there's varying numbers of people who are afraid of the dark. As kids, many kids are afraid of the dark. But the more I read studies, the more it talked about how many adults, when they really got down to their honesty, are afraid of the dark or uneasy. Some were up to even 64% of adults are afraid of the dark. I don't necessarily know why this is, but there's just something interesting and dreary and scary about the dark. I don't know if you have ever been like this or if you're like this, but our world is a dark place. I remember as a kid listening to music and my parents, grandparents, and those I grew up around in the church thinking that the music was dark or bad, or sinful, or scary. And my parents would say, you know, when I was a kid, when they were in high school, that they were listening to the Beatles or whoever it was, sorry, Brian, that music was bad. And that the music they listened to, you know, would not have been allowed by their grandparents. You know, no way. But then, obviously, their grandparents became parents, and my parents were their kids. Sorry if I'm dizzying you. And then they started to listen to this music. And it wasn't necessarily just because the guitar was hard, because at times it was. Sometimes it was the speed at which the music came out. Maybe it was the volume of the voices. But then there was this, I don't know what when it shifted, but there was this wave of literal sinful lyrics, right? Bad content that just started coming out in music, and it kind of came out a lot. And then my parents went from kids to parents, and I became a kid and a teenager. And I remember kind of waffling through, wow, these lyrics are bad. Right, this is getting dark, and I'm going to sound old here, but have you listened to the music that the kids listen to these days? It is insane. Literally, it's insane. And I'm not saying that the world is worse, but the world seems worse. Right, the world looks worse, and it's not just in music. It's in movies, and it's not just in movies. It's on the internet. It's on TV. The stuff that was crazy and risque when I was a kid on television is watered down. But it's not just in that. It's social media. It's in our homes. It's actually in some churches. The world is a dark place and needs a light. And that light is Jesus. And most of us, at least in this room, most of us, at least, if not all of us, have Jesus. Or we're interested in Jesus, we've been around Jesus, so we understand this light that Jesus offers. But to conceptualize that there's a world that does not have the light of life is a scary thought. We're in this series of the I am statements of Jesus. Last week, Pastor Brian went over I'm the bread of life and talked about how Jesus is life. This morning, we're going to look at Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. So if you can open your Bibles and stand, we're going to open up to John chapter 8. We'll start in verse 12. But before we jump into this, just wondering, you know, most of us live in this facade at times, and we don't necessarily admit to the darkness that we feel. Most therapists, psychologists, counselors will tell you that a lot of people, when they're in bed or when they're by themselves in their own head, they will admit to the struggle that's there and the darkness that the world has. And let's think of that as we read this. This is John chapter 8, starting in verse 12. This is talking about Jesus here and what Jesus says. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. You do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself. And the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would have known my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Please pray with me. Lord, your words are truth. They are our authority. And this morning, I pray that we can allow them to transform our hearts and our lives. Help us to understand more of the fact that you are the light of the world. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. Jesus is the light of the world. You know, he states it clearly. He doesn't say, I reflect the light of the world. He doesn't say that I turn on the light of the world. Jesus doesn't say I can see the light of the world. He doesn't say it's the sun in heaven that he put there. It doesn't say it's the stars in the sky that he puts there, he names them. Jesus is not saying that there is a light of the world and that he is a part of it. He is saying, I am the light of the world. And I wonder, as so often has happened in the Gospels, and we read about it, if the people that were there in the temple may have been kind of going, what is he talking about? You know, we read often where Jesus is talking, and then he says something in a parable form or in some spiritual way, and then he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And what he's saying, in a sense, is there's only some of you that are going to hear this and get it. Only some of them had ears to hear what the Spirit was saying, a mind to understand God, or a heart that was feeling for God. And so maybe some of that was going on. Maybe they were thinking, what in the world is Jesus talking about? He's the light of the world. It's not dark outside, unless it's nighttime. So what is it? And maybe someone here today, maybe someone reading this later might think, I don't get it. What is Jesus saying? But he's talking about him being the light of life. Jesus as the light of our life to give us truth, to give us insight, to give us wisdom, to give us the path, to give us the way back to God and let us know what the world is all about. To define our worldview, if you will. In Isaiah 42, Isaiah is talking about the Lord's servant, sort of about Israel and who they're supposed to be, but the fulfillment that would come in Jesus being this light. And it says this in 42:6, I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. To open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. And again, part of this was Israel. The fulfillment is in Jesus. He opens the eyes of our minds, of our hearts, of our lives. And even in Isaiah 9:2, the passage about the child to be born, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, we read at Christmas time. In that same passage, it says this, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. Our world was dark. Our world still is dark. And it needs Jesus. We have Jesus as the light. Have you found the light? Do you have the light? Do you have the resource of what the light is when life seems dark to you? Do you understand what Jesus means when he says, I am the light of the world? John, in this same book that we're in this morning, at the beginning of his gospel, writes this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus came as the light. The world needed him, but it's awesome that it says the darkness has not overcome it. The light is greater than the darkness. Darkness does not put out a candle. The light has to be taken away. Darkness doesn't ever win. Light always takes away darkness. Darkness doesn't consume light. The darkness of the world, the enemy, the evil, does not consume and take away the truth of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the salvation of Jesus, his message. And he came preaching these things. But in John, he describes how there was this need, and the darkness could not overcome that. And our world today, one, is dark. Our world needs the message. If you have not been around lately and you've been under a rock, you would not understand that there are mass shootings. I read that there are more, this may have been a few days ago, there are more mass shootings in our nation than there were days of the year so far. And a mass shooting is four or more people shot or killed at a time. And that's just those, more than there are days. The suicide rate is up. And if you're at all mindful of the world, the hate rate is up. The racism rate is up. Intolerance is up. People just hating people is up. The world is dark. There's one light that takes that away. It's Jesus. But the interesting thing is, he puts this light in us. Jesus is not physically walking the earth right now. We are his hands and his feet. And he came as the light, and he gives us the light. And we'll go over that in a little bit. But in John 9:5, he says, well, I'll just read it to you. Don't have a slide for this one. "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." John 12:25. "Whoever loves his life loses it." I'm reading the wrong one. Excuse me, 35. I didn't know where I was. 35. "So Jesus said, the light is among you for a little while longer. While you have the light, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light." Jesus does not want you or I or anyone to be in darkness. He came to give us life. He came to give us light. Jesus stood out, if you've read the Gospels. He stood out in the crowds. He stood out with the religious leaders. He was different. His light shined. It shone. It was avant-garde in a way. It stood out from what was there. Psalm 27:1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Light, salvation, refuge, hope, forgiveness, mercy, love, grace is all inside the life and the light of Jesus. And that's what he brings to us. It's an amazing message. Yet in here, it's more than just Jesus is the light. Because what does it say in 8:12? "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the first thing I want us to see is that Jesus is the light of the world. But the second thing on your outline, maybe you can write this: those who follow Jesus have the light. He doesn't say the whole world gets it and anyone can have it. Jesus' light, Jesus' gospel is insanely exclusive. Bear with me. Anyone who does not follow Jesus and have faith in him is left out. Anyone who does not believe in Jesus is left out. At the same time, every single person in all of creation who would come to Jesus is brought in. So it's exclusive, but also very inclusive. anyone who would come, anyone who would follow Jesus gets this light. Have you followed Jesus? Do you have the light? Because I guarantee you, you know that the world is dark. And if you don't have the light of Jesus, your candle and your flashlight ain't going to take away that darkness. If you've ever been depressed or anxious or low, and someone offered you a flashlight to fix your deal, you know that it ain't going to work. If they said, can I just light a match? That'll make it better. Sorry. I love your effort. But when they say, we got Jesus. We got the light of the world. We got the one who overcomes the darkness. The darkness could not overcome him. We got the one who wins. But Jesus wants us to follow him. John 12:26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. We got to follow Jesus. Now, walk with me for a second. There are many who followed Jesus in the Gospels, physically, walking with Jesus, that weren't having faith in him. They weren't following him as Lord. They wanted a miracle. They wanted food. They wanted something. Because when things got tough, they turned and walked away. Which means, unfortunately, that there may be some sitting in here today that physically are here, that have physically, in a sense, followed Jesus, that are not following him with faith. And that is not bad if you're working on it. But if you are denying Jesus, your geographical position on this earth doesn't matter. Your proximity to the Bible doesn't matter. Your closeness to someone next to you who's praying doesn't save you and give you life and give you light. It is Jesus Christ and faith in him. Amen? That is what the gospel teaches. It's a strong teaching, but at the same time, it's anyone. Everyone who will come and believe in Jesus has the light of life, which means anyone has access to overcome the darkness. Not in and of themselves, but all through Jesus Christ. And he gives us this light in many ways. He gives it to us through people, through his Holy Spirit, through his word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. This right here is your flashlight. It's your guidebook. It's your directions. It's your fix it. It's your help me. Jesus offers everyone who would call on him salvation. In Romans 10, it's as simple, but it's very, very deep. Romans 10:9 says this. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. What a wonderful message. But that's following. It doesn't say everyone who uses their left foot and their right foot to walk after Jesus and just watch him from a distance is saved. That is not it. It doesn't say, unfortunately, that if you walk into a church 13 out of 17 Sundays in a row, you are saved. That is not it. So we need to understand that just because our parents were saved doesn't mean we are. Just because our grandparents were pastors or church builders or missionaries or they bought us a Bible when we were six doesn't mean we're saved. It takes a choice on our behalf. It takes following Jesus, believing in him. But Jesus says, whoever will do it, whoever will do it, will have the light. Wonderful news. Wonderful news. But there is a flip side. Huge flip side. You guys have flipped a coin, right? Heads or tails? If heads is the good news, tails is the not so good news. And if you like tails, then make it heads. Whatever. But there is a flip side because Jesus says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Which means there are those who do not follow Jesus. And those people, what do you think they're left in? Darkness. Whether they admit it or not. Right? Whether they admit it or not, you know as well as I do that when we drop our walls, I've said this earlier, but even the world out there who is so strong and right and always on fire, and on Facebook their life is phenomenal, right? And then when the wall drops, when honesty sets in, when the liquid courage has dissipated, when the selfie face is turned off, they'll admit life's pretty dark. I don't have an answer for this one. That mountain I got to climb is too tall. The wall I got to jump is too flat. I can't beat it. I need something bigger than me, something bigger than a dollar, something bigger than a degree, something bigger than the dot, dot, dot on the back of my business card, something bigger than the tires on my big truck, something bigger than my family. It's got to be outside of me because I can't figure it out. Enter in the light of the world, Jesus Christ. We need to stand on that and shine that. That should be the most important proclamation of our life. All those other things that God gives us, great. But if they're bigger than the proclamation of Jesus Christ, then what are we shining? Jesus is great if you have these other things. Jesus is great, but not enough because I need to pursue all of this stuff. Jesus is the light of the world, but this is what brings me happiness. This is what gets me out of the darkness, because I don't. Jesus is what gets us out of the darkness. And John 3:16, many of us know this verse. We've said it before. It's at sporting events, all of these things, right? But when we go all the way to 19, there's more description of what's happening. It says this, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. I'm going to repeat that. The light has come into the world, that's Jesus. And people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. That is a description by the mouth of Jesus about those who will not accept the gospel, the good news. They would rather have the works of darkness. They love that more than the light that comes from Jesus. And you have to know and understand and believe that is the world we live in right now. Jesus was talking about this thousands of years ago in Palestine. 2023 in Cyprus is no different. In fact, if you open your Bibles to the book of Romans, I'm going to read a few verses, so bear with me with this, and you might think, wow, Brandon's reading verses about Southern California right now. But this is actually thousands of years ago. And this is a hard truth. Romans 1, starting in verse 18, I'm going to jump around so I don't take forever on this, but it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. He goes on to say, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's darkness. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And then there's this big word, therefore. Because they were doing these things, therefore, God did this. He gave them up in the lust of their hearts. Now, if you had to picture what it looks like for a society when God says, I'm giving you up to the lust of your hearts. Oof. Darkness. To impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. He goes on to say, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. That music is perfect for this part. What would it look like if God gave a society up to dishonorable passions? Literally, think of that. If you saw from a snapshot, you were an eagle flying over a society of people, and God was around the people, and they were continuing to go against God, and God said, you know what? I'm going to give you up to dishonorable passions. What would you see? Darkness. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women, were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men, and receiving in themselves a due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, Another one, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. What does it look like when God gives people up to a debased mind, to their own passions? It looks like today. I will be who I want, when I want, how I want. If you don't like it, leave me alone. People want to be their own God. We all have likes. We all have dislikes. We all have differences. Celebrate our differences. God made all people in his image, and he made us different. We all look different. Fantastic. There's beauty in the similarities, and there's beauty in the differences. There's beauty in our differences and our likes and our dislikes. Yet we're all made in the image of God to glorify God. And when we're not doing that, we're living in darkness. This is what Jesus teaches. In Ephesians 5, the same guy, Apostle Paul, who wrote this, says, at one time you were in darkness, now walk as children of light, which means we were all there. All of us were there. Because he goes on to say a whole bunch of things, and Pastor Brian, not too long ago, said this. It was great just the way he presented it. But they're filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, gossip, slanders, haters of God, disobedient to parents, all of these things. That's not what God wants from us. Those are dark things. And we learn that we were all there, and then we came to the light that is Jesus. God worked in us, and we walked to that light, and we have the light of the world in us, living for us, giving it to us, but not just for us, right? So if we were to think, man, this is a great, amazing truth, and it is, do we walk away with the truth and go, my life is great, I have the light, I'm good to go, rock solid, I can retire now, right? I can go live in the woods because I'm good to go. Then we'd all have a bunch of Christians living on their own little huts in the woods, and no one would be influenced by Christians. But God made it so that we would be his witnesses. God made it so that we would make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that he commanded to make more Christians. So the last thing I want us to see, be the light of Jesus. Shine the light of Jesus. As Paul says in Ephesians, walk as children of light. Be the light and shine the light. What are we shining? One, any light we shine is from Jesus, just so you know. When you're getting all dutied up in the mirror and you're like, we're looking good today, that's because of Jesus, just so you know. He made you. And even when you're like, dude, someone needs a haircut, like, whatever. Like, God, like, what are you shining? What are you portraying? What are you promoting? What banner are you flying? Nothing wrong to have banners, but they should be submissive to the banner of Jesus. So the world, when they see you and they go, wow, what does she have? She sits in a cubicle a little bit different. When she says hi, there's a little bit more love in there. And when she says what's going on, she means it. I want some of that. Or man, hugs from that person last a little bit longer. Sometimes too long. But their hugs are different. They're meaningful. They're intentional. They really want to show me that they love me. Where do they get that love? Because I've been loving for 45 years, but I don't have that love. And even though life is dark, something inside of that person sees the light at the end of the tunnel. And even inside the tunnel. Do you have that light? I know where it comes from. Jesus is offering you that light today. And Jesus says this in Matthew 5:44. This is so rad. This should blow our minds. There's an emoji on your phone, right? When you're texting people, and there's the little heads that all do these weird faces. But there's one of my favorites. It's the dude's head's blowing up. Like, that's me when I'm going, right? So, think of Jesus being the light of the world. Jesus himself said this in Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. Right? Okay, it's just a couple words. But you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus gives us that light. He says, shine. He wants us to be his witnesses. And if you read the Bible in its wholeness, you'll realize that what Jesus did is he gave us his Holy Spirit so that we would have it and it would help us, and that we would shine for others so the world would still see Jesus through and in our lives. Now it's still in the mountains, still in the heavens, still in the miracles he does, but he also shows the world the light of Jesus through our lives. We got to shine. 1.6 miles. One little candle. I wonder what one little godly smile looks like in 1.6 miles of a dark world. I wonder when these candles of this, just this little church, walk out of this church today, how much light we can shine with all the other churches that are going on, all the other Jesus followers. I wonder how much we can radiate. Don't put a bowl over your light. Don't forget that you have this light. Don't forget that it's there for a reason. The band can come on up. I'm just about done here. But shining our light does take effort on our behalf. It's not just a, well, I came to Jesus. Again, I can just sit down. Wow, look at this light just blazing out of me. People walk by and go, oh, Jesus follower. That's just not what happens. Right? There is some effort. In Philippians chapter 2, the same Apostle Paul, go figure. Therefore, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of light without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. There's intentionality and there's effort there for us to try to shine as lights. If you're at school, shine at school. If you're at work, shine at work. You're surfing, shine surfing. You're dancing, shine dancing. You're digging dirt, shine digging dirt. You're walking the dog, shine walking the dog. Shine your life for Jesus. 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is our light. And in that light is hope, joy, forgiveness, mercy, grace, love, and more. We have that in Christ Jesus. We have it to share for Christ Jesus, for others, so that we can be a light to this world. Let's pray. God, you knew that the world was going to get dark. And it didn't take long with humanity. You had a plan to give light, to rescue, to show your love, to defeat the darkness. Lord, for those that are here walking in darkness, maybe wavering, not knowing whether they really want to jump in, pray that you touch their hearts. Let them know that you're safe, you're holy, you're just, you're loving, you're kind, and you have salvation and the light of life. For those of us that have it, Lord, help us to shine it for others, to remember how much it does for us, but also to shine that light for others so that people will give glory to you, for you are worthy of our praise. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.